Hello, and thank you for listening to Call the Roll, a public affairs program produced by the Columbus City Council and aired here on Freedom FM. I'm your host, John Ivanek, Communications Director for the Columbus City Council. On this week's show, objecting to liquor license renewals in Columbus. Each year, the City of Columbus objects to the renewal of liquor permits for establishments that have a history of criminal activity, excessive police runs, code and health violations, and general disregard for neighborhood safety. While state law does not grant cities the authority to revoke or deny the renewal of liquor permits, Columbus City Council exercises its right to submit formal objections to the Ohio Department of Commerce's Division of Liquor Control in hopes that the state will deny permit renewals for irresponsible establishments. The Division of Liquor Control has the sole authority to grant a renewal or uphold a city's objection. Public Safety and Judiciary Committee Chair Zach Klein sponsored 26 pieces of legislation to lodge the city's objections, which are the product of the efforts of council, the city attorney's office, the Division of Police, and community residents who want to improve neighborhood safety. Here's Councilmember Klein.
Tonight in safety, we have a series of liquor objections for consideration from this council. I'd like to turn the podium over to Bill Spurlaza from the city attorney's office to give him presentation about the process. And go ahead, if it's okay with the council, just maybe talk about all of these establishments at once. And then once we can flush out any questions, comments, or concerns we have over them, we'll go through and we'll read the ordinances. So Mr. Spurlaza, the floor is yours.
Thank you, President Ginther. Chairman Klein, members of council, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for this opportunity to speak today about liquor permit objections. For those who do not know, my name is Bill Spurlaza. I'm an assistant city attorney in City Attorney Richard C. Pfeiffer Jr.'s office, and I represent the city in liquor permit objection matters. This is a long process. It takes the better part of a year, so if you'll indulge me a few brief thank yous. First, I want to continue to thank Chief Jacobs and the Columbus Police Department. Chief Jacobs' commitment to holding liquor permit establishments accountable has resulted in a record year for permit objections. And our neighborhoods are going to be safer for that. I'd also like to thank Commander Cameron, Lieutenant Kemmerling, who I know is here today, Sergeant Soha, Detective Brown, Detective Rosser, and the many other police officers who have done so much and at times put themselves in harm's way to help us combat these problem establishments. And finally, Councilmember Klein, I'd like to thank your office for your cooperation with the Columbus Police Department and the City Attorney's Office. And in particular, I'd like to thank your legislative analyst, Gretchen James, for all the work she has done to make these objections happen, and mostly for her patience with us over these last few hectic days. A very, very brief word about the process. At the end of each year, the City Attorney's Office makes recommendations to City Council for objection to the renewal of liquor permits. And City Attorney Pfeiffer certifies that there are substantial legal grounds to object to these permit renewals. Today, I'll give you a brief review for the legal grounds before Council votes. In the past 3 years, City Council has objected to 30 liquor permit renewals. We're waiting on the rulings for two of those matters. Of the 28 that are complete, I can tell you that we've been successful in 22 of those 28, so that's roughly a 79% winning percentage. This year alone, I am presenting 25 new permit renewal objections to City Council. This large number is a direct result of the really fantastic investigative work by the Columbus Police Department and a thriving collaboration between the Police Department, the City Attorney's Office, and the Ohio Investigative Unit. This year, an emphasis was put on illegal sale of alcohol to underage individuals. In the past, the Division of Liquor Control has indicated that if an establishment demonstrates 3 or 4 such incidents in a year, it's susceptible to losing their liquor permit. And I think we have a lot of those that meet that threshold this year. All right, I'll get into it. I'll start moving pretty quickly. The first will be the 3C Plus Food Mart at 1790 Morse Road. This permit is held by 1790 Morse Road Incorporated, and the permit number is 7981565. This is one of our chronic illegal alcohol sales violators in the City of Columbus. We believe we have evidence that will show 10 underage sales of alcohol in 2014. And to be clear, these are instances where the Columbus Police Department is prepared to show evidence that alcohol was sold to somebody under the age of 21. Those 10 sales took place by four different clerks. In addition, there are two incidents of theft by deception in 2014. At this establishment, theft by deception could mean the buying or selling of stolen property. It could also mean buying and selling counterfeit items. I should say that oftentimes the evidence that is pertinent to liquor permit objections runs parallel with the evidence that is pertinent to nuisance abatements. The 3C Plus Food Barn has received a nuisance abatement warning letter from the Columbus Police Department, and that is significant. Second is Al's Market at 224 Reeb Avenue. This is held by Hannum One Incorporated, number 356-8968. In 2014 alone, there have been six incidents of underage sale of alcohol. These sales have been conducted by two different clerks. In a 2014 inspection, found several violations, including improperly repackaging and splitting beer. Next is Ann and Mike's Main Street Tavern. This is at 3408 East Main Street. It's held by KPHTH Company. The permit number is 48404-73001. In 2014, we have evidence of six underage sales of alcohol. Those were done by two different clerks. A late 2013 inspection revealed violations for refilling and diluting alcohol and sanitary dispensing apparatus and in sanitary beverage conditions. This bar does have a reputation for violence. In October of this year, the Columbus Police Department was dispatched to a shots fired call where a gentleman was found shot in the forearm at this bar. He was taken to Mount Carmel East, where he survived. A few weeks prior to that, the Columbus Police Department was again dispatched to a fight that occurred at the bar where an individual pulled a firearm on somebody and struck them about the head. This is another establishment that has received a nuisance abatement warning letter from the Columbus Police Department. The next three should be, to some degree, considered in conjunction. The Beechcroft Newsstand at 1935 East Dublin Granville Road is held by Mubarak LLC. The primary on that corporation is Muhammad Mubarak. Permit 607-2351. Four underage sales of alcohol in 2014, one as recently as December 5th. Multiple complaints from community members and business leaders in the Northland area. The Columbus Police Department indicates a reputation for violence at this establishment. And in March of 2014, the Columbus Police were dispatched to the store where two of the owners had pulled guns on customers. The Beechcroft Newsstand has received a nuisance abatement warning letter as well. In addition, I would ask you to consider R&M Carryout at 3477 East Main Street. This permit is held by R&M Carryout LLC, and the primary is also Mohammed Mubarak. Permit number 714-9985. Three underage sales of alcohol in 2014, one as recently as December 4th of this year. Various investigations and inspections have revealed that this establishment is engaged in the buying and selling of stolen property and illegal possession of food stamps as well. Finally, in this group is Sally's Market at 740 Sullivan Avenue. This is held by J.A.D. Mubarak Incorporated. The primary there is Jihad Mubarak. The permit number is 4217850. Five underage sales of alcohol, one as recently as December 3rd, by two different clerks. An Ohio Investigative Unit investigation has revealed food stamp fraud, telecommunications fraud, and the misuse of credit card charges. These three permits, all held by the Mubarak family, total 12 underage sales of alcohol in 2014, in addition to various other criminal activities. Next would be the Billy Goat Tavern at 5940 New Albany Road. This is held by Billy Goat Tavern, LTD, permit number 0717798. Another one of our chronic violators of illegal sales of alcohol in 2014. We have evidence of approximately 14 underage sales of alcohol at the Billy Goat Tavern this year by nine different bartenders. Again, a nuisance abatement warning letter was sent to the Billy Goat Tavern. Next will be the C1 store at 3245 East Broad Street, held by Array Incorporated, A-A-R-Y Incorporated, permit number 0000562. Six underage sales of alcohol in 2014. Those sales were made by three different clerks. There's evidence that the store engaged in illegal sale of tobacco as well. And this is one where we have received multiple citizen complaints about the criminal activity, including complaints from the Eastmore Civic Association. This will be the last time I do this. The next two I'd like to also have considered in conjunction. The first is Chambers Lounge at 1348 Parsons Avenue. It's held by Chambers Lounge Incorporated. The primary on that corporation is the Glockner Children's Trust. Permit 13836030001. This year, the Division of Liquor Control saw fit to suspend this license for a period of time, and while under suspension, the establishment was found to be selling beer and was cited with illegal sale of beer, illegal sale of intoxicating liquor, selling while under suspension. Inspections have revealed insanitary conditions, illegal possession of gambling devices, permits not posted, insanitary beverage conditions, passing bad checks, and failure to pay taxes. In addition, there was an associated after-hour club next door. We've received complaints from citizens on the south side about Chambers Lounge. There were also two sales of underage alcohol in late 2013 in December. On again to the related Triple L Lounge at 1230 Parsons Avenue. This was held by Thurman and Parsons Incorporated, and the primary, again, is Glockner Children's Trust, the same folks that own Chambers Lounge. The permit for Triple L Lounge is 8923698. Four underage sales of alcohol in 2014 made by three different clerks. The Ohio Investigative Unit investigation revealed many violations, including five instances of purchasing alcohol from someone that is not an appropriate retailer. It was found that this bar was purchasing alcohol that was purported to be stolen to use to stock their shelves. Five different incidents of that. Inspections in 2013 and 2014 revealed a litany of violations, including illegal resale of beer and sanitary beverage conditions and failure to pay taxes. And we have also received complaints from concerned citizens about the criminal activity at this place. Both of these permits held by the Glockner Children's Trust do substantially interfere with the well-being of that neighborhood. Moving on, Chips and Go at 1020 East Broad Street, held by WHAR LLC. Permit number 9555-933-0005. Another of our most chronic offenders as it pertains to illegal alcohol sales, approximately 14 underage sales of alcohol in 2014 alone. Illegal distribution of tobacco to children in August of this year. This would be up there as one that has received, in which we have received the most citizen complaints. In 2012, it was shown that synthetic drugs and such as bath salts were being sold from the store, and this truly is a place that has been a thorn in the side of concerned neighbors for years. Next would be the Convenient Plus Food Mart, 5435 East Livingston, held by Easy Stop One Incorporated. The primary there is a man named Muhammad Ashraf. Permit number 24129960005. There have been seven underage sales of alcohol in 2014 alone at the Convenient Plus Food Mart, made by two different clerks. The permit holder was previously convicted of the civil offense of maintaining a nuisance due to the illegal operation of the Columbus Inn and Suites just off of 161. The Convenient Plus Food Mart has also received a nuisance abatement warning letter. Next is a bar called Evolution at 5610 Hall Road. It's held by Q Continuum Organization, LLC, permit number 712-8694. Seven underage sales of alcohol in 2014 made by three different bartenders. In the past year, this bar has also had tax problems and insanitary condition issues upon inspection. The Columbus Police Department indicates a reputation for violence at this establishment as well. Next will be the G&W Market at 1827 South 5th Street, held by McCall LLC at the permit number 5402035. We have eight underage sales of alcohol at the G&W Market in 2014 by two different clerks, and a nuisance abatement warning letter was sent to these folks as well. Next is Lena's Market at 2305 West Broad, held by Kahair Incorporated. permit number 56124, 56124-90, 8 underage sales of alcohol in 2014 at Lena's Market. We're getting to the end, I promise. Next is Linden Marathon at 1326 Oakland Park. This is held by JA Group, LLC, permit number 4178940. This is another of our chronic illegal sale of alcohol offenders, 13 underage sales of alcohol in 2014 by at least four different clerks. They've also been found to be engaged in the illegal sale of tobacco, and a nuisance abatement was actually filed in this particular matter. Next is Little Giant at 1040 East Whittier, held by 1040 East Whittier Incorporated, permit number 8840518. Again, another chronic offender with 10 underage sales of alcohol in 2014 made by two different clerks, and a nuisance abatement warning letter has been sent. Next is Papa Joe's Pizza and Pub and Patio at 6784 Refugee Road, held by Stack 9710 LLC, permit number 8484439. A thorough investigation conducted by the Ohio Investigative Unit revealed that on at least nine occasions in 2014, this bar bought purportedly stolen alcohol to stock its shelves. It engaged in food stamp fraud, and it provided marijuana and cash in exchange for food stamp benefits and stolen alcohol. A search warrant conducted in late October revealed a filthy premises, stolen alcohol, and drugs within the bar. Next is Pit Stop Lounge at 900 Oakland Park by John Marr Incorporated, permit number 444-6832. The Pit Stop Lounge has six underage sales of alcohol in 2014 made by two different clerks. All right, third time's a charm. The next establishment is the Schrock Road Tavern at 1455 Schrock Road, held by R&A 1455 LLC, permit number 7154845. Between 15 and 20 incidents in 2014 alone of police runs and reports pertaining to violence, weapons, and other serious crimes, 158 calls for service between January of 2013 and September of 2014, three underage sales of alcohol in 2014, an obstructing search violation by the permit holder himself, June 12, 2014. That's when the permit holder does not allow inspectors who have a right to inspect to come into the bar. We've heard complaints from citizens as well as from police officers indicating that the Schrock Road Tavern is a place where violence, weapons, and gang activity flourish. The Schrock Road Tavern has been a thorn in the side of the surrounding community for too long, and it's time that we as a city did everything we could to make that neighborhood a safe place to live and do business, and objecting to this permit is a start. There was a shooting at this permit premises over the weekend. Next is Sean's Market, 3309 East Main. This is held by ENZ Market, LLC, at permit number 2528285, another chronic illegal sale of alcohol offender, 10 underage sales of alcohol in 2014 made by three different clerks, theft by deception charges in October, as well as a nuisance abatement letter sent. Smoke Outlet at 1635 Parsons Avenue, held by Welch of Ohio, LLC, permit number 9498118, 8 underage sales of alcohol in 2014 made by three clerks. Sportsman's Billiards at 3965 Sullivan Avenue, held by Sportsman's Billiard Club Incorporated, permit number 844-048-70010. Another chronic illegal sale of alcohol offender, 14 underage sales of alcohol in 2014 made by four different bartenders. Inspections have revealed unsanitary conditions, permits not posted, refilling and dilution of beverages, citations as well, and a nuisance abatement filed in this matter. Finally, the Valero Market at 1536 West Broad. This is held by Jerry and Barry Incorporated. Permit number 4281838, 10 underage sales of alcohol in 2014 by 5 different clerks, a nuisance abatement warning letter sent as well. These tenants, the building owner found it fit to evict these tenants, and while they were evicted, it is still appropriate to object to their permit because they could simply take it somewhere else. That is all for the new permit objections. As I mentioned earlier, we still have 2 outstanding permit objections. The hearings were held this past fall, October and November, respectively. Since the division has not made a decision yet and their decision is still pending, it is incumbent upon us to object to their renewal for this year as well. Eureka Market, 192 South Eureka Avenue, permit number 0090549. And Parsons Market at 1650 Parsons Avenue, 819-9927. And that is it. I know my mic cut out a few times. I'll be happy to answer any questions. Thank you for your time and your patience with me.
Thank you, Mr. Spilazzo. You may want to stay up here in case there's any questions for my colleagues. Any questions for the City Attorney's Office on any of these objections? Seeing none, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
What I'd like to do is go through the list now that we've heard the cases being brought and why we're objecting to these. I'd like to thank Detective Brown and your team, certainly the lead detective from Columbus Police Department and the work and the diligence that they've done, as well as the NAG team. Folks from the Department of Health have gone in and inspected. This is a comprehensive effort that is done by multi-departments in the City of Columbus. This isn't just underage sales. You heard about unsanitary conditions. You've heard about violence. So, Mr. Spilazzo, actually, I want to be able to clarify for the record and the folks listening at home, like, how much notice do these folks receive to know that they could be objected against? Like, typically, when is a nuisance abatement letter sent, or and when would they know that they could be the target of a liquor objection? How does that process work?
Thank you, Mr. Klein. After several violations that could result in a nuisance abatement, that is typically when the Columbus Police Department would send a nuisance abatement warning letter. It can vary. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're early in the process, sometimes they're late in the process. But these letters indicate that nuisance activity is occurring, that the police officers tell them that that needs to stop, that what could happen if they continue to act in that way. And they also offer help. They give you a direct phone number to a particular police officer who's willing to come out there and help them do what they have to do to stop this type of activity. So many of these, as I've indicated, and I know that I did not even indicate all the letters that were sent, but many of these have received nuisance abatement warning letters. So,
okay.
I can tell you.
So it's safe to say that no one's caught by surprise that they're on this list?
No, I should think not. And certainly all of the underage sales that I talked about, I can't even quantify how many I have all been filed in criminal court. Mm-hmm. So certainly there's notice in that regard too.
Thank you, Mr. Spilazzo.
Right. Thank you.
The last group that I'd like to thank is the public. The public helped solicit information that brought many of these establishments to the forefront that were investigated because of citizen complaints. This can't be done without folks that are the boots on the ground in the neighborhoods that live by these establishments. They deal with the problems that they create. So thank you to the public for going out of your way to make a difference to make Columbus better.
Columbus City Council members have selected a 31-year-old city attorney to be the next Columbus City Council member. Jiza Page will be sworn in during the next few days and take her seat on January 26th. Before the nomination and selection of Ms. Page, council members thanked all the applicants for their willingness to serve the community. Here's Council President Ginther.
I just wanted to go on the record before we discuss and act on filling this vacancy tonight on the outstanding pool of candidates that we had the great fortune as council members and as a collective city to be able to consider leading our great city council. I appreciate the folks that applied, that went through the process, but also their families, because this is a family commitment. This is not just an individual acting on his or her own entering this process and a very public side of life to serve in this community. So to all those that applied, that went through the process, that shared their vision, their values, and their priorities with this caucus, I wanted to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you. for giving us so many great options and alternatives to choose from, a very talented group of people. Any comments from council members? Councilmember Klein?
Thank you, Council President Ginther. I'd also echoing your comments, it's joyful to serve on the Columbus City Council and do the work of serving the City of Columbus. But when it comes to filling the vacancies, it also can be a frustrating time because you know that there are so many wonderful applicants, but there's only one seat. And I'd also like to thank those that put themselves out, that stepped out of their comfort zone and wanted to serve the city that we all love. We love it tremendously and want to serve it in different capacities. So thank you to them and their families for putting your neck on the line to want to serve the city in an elected capacity, because it's a tough job. It's a tough job, but it's a rewarding one. So thank you, Council President.
Any other comments regarding the process? Council Member Tyson.
Thank you, President Ginther. And I, too, just like to say thank you to all the individuals that applied for this seat. I had the opportunity to interview each and every one of those individuals that applied and just appreciate that they love the city so much and want to participate in leading the city as we continue to move forward. So, again, I just want to say thank you to each and every one of you. For those of you who may not be selected this time, I would just say don't give up. Continue to serve the city in the different capacities that you're already serving and look for other opportunities. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Tyson. Councilmember Mills.
I believe my colleagues have expressed thank you, and I, too, am grateful for the folks who put themselves forward. I know from experience that it's not that easy, but I want to say thank you for the work that you've done before this day and the day before you put your name in the hat for a seat with this body. The work before that gave you the passion that continues to drive you each and every day should continue, and I hope that it does, because we rely heavily on those who are working in our communities and being in the spaces and the places when we cannot be, and those who continue to inform us on the important things that are happening in the community, to continue to do that and continue to do the hard work. And thank you again for putting yourselves forward, and to all the community for their engagement in this process. I think engagement from the community is to be rewarded, and it's necessary. So thank you.
And we'll be hearing more from Ms. Page in the coming weeks here on Call the Roll. We're out of time for this edition of Call the Roll. If you have a question or a comment, just email us at calltheroll@columbus.gov. That's CALLTHEROLL at columbus.gov. Don't forget, you can follow the Columbus City Council on our Facebook and our Twitter pages. On behalf of the entire Columbus City Council, I'm your host, John Ivanek. Thanks for listening to Freedom FM, and have a great weekend.